I'd been in communication with Prairie Pride Coalition for quite a while, and Gary Gletty and Dave Bentland had both been interested in pursuing some kind of a relationship with New Root Theater. And I thought that this was a really good way of doing it, of introducing new works and introducing that kind of a relationship between Prairie Pride and New Root Theater.
Dwayne, what sorts of sensibilities did you take to selecting the works in this festival?
I think I wanted to make sure that we found something that spoke to people here. I, as a part of the community here, have gotten to know a good number of people from the LGBTQ community, and I'm aware that we're met with different challenges here than we are in other parts of the country, just sort of a regional personality of what it is to be gay, and so I wanted to make sure we found material that spoke to that personality here, and we did. We found good plays.
I'll Bite. How is the climate different here than in other places, even in the Midwest?
I've spent most of my time in big cities. I lived 22 years in New York, and before that, California, Los Angeles for 4 years, and I find that people are still a bit guarded here, that to be out in central Illinois still involves a bit of being in the closet. And I think that's the case even in large cities for some people, but it seems to be more so here. And I don't really think that people here are aware of what we do to ourselves. In terms of, in a sense, repressing ourselves, I think.
Unpack that a little. Would you, in the closet, even when you're out? And what does that look like?
Well,
there
are stages. There are, some people are out to friends. Some people are out only enough that they're willing to date or to hook up or whatever that may be. But they're afraid to tell family, or they're afraid to that a coworker would find out. There are some people who are in committed relationships that I've met for many years that are afraid of their employers finding out for fear of discrimination, fear of losing their jobs. So all of that is very real here.
In many areas of the country, that happened, that shift to more openness happened a generation ago, although mm-hmm. some people of my acquaintance who are in their 50s and 60s are very firmly in the never discuss it, never be open,
yeah,
never be out.
Absolutely.
And 10 years younger, and the attitude is entirely different.
I think you're right. I think it is a generational thing. You can't teach an old dog new tricks sometimes, but maybe you can. Yeah.
Which of these plays exemplifies this particular issue?
In Reconnect, we have six scenes where we meet 11 characters, and it's about couples reconnecting, and in some cases about individual persons coming out.
Reconnect was written by D.C. Cathro, a playwright from Maryland, who has had two other plays selected for festivals in Dallas and Kansas City this year, and yet he's speaking to central Illinois issues.
Well, it's something that just resonated. We had submissions from all over the country, which was exciting, and we had a number locally. And I believe three of the four have central Illinois roots in some way. So this is the only one that comes from outside, but it's here because we felt that it speaks to the community.
Don, how did you approach selecting plays for this?
It was really just a process of choosing from the plays that were, I hate to use the word best, because it's not best that we were looking for. It was the plays that we felt would speak to the community as a whole, actually. Mm-hmm. The selection process was one also of creating a festival that didn't duplicate genres, would give a broad range of different kinds of theater as well.
And also, I think, to encourage local voices. We have two professors, actually, from Illinois State University whose work we're featuring.
One of them is Paula Ressler, who wrote Garbage Can Blues. She's an associate professor in the English department at ISU, and you direct that one.
Yes.
It's a tale of a lesbian mother struggling to come to terms with the circumstances of her son's demise. and she questions any role she might have played. Mm-hmm. What are the major themes in this?
It explores the effect of someone's sexuality on their family members. You know, how does a family member take it? And in this case, it's a mother who is lesbian, and her son has great difficulty with it and has a very tragic path. It's about the mother trying to live with that, live with her son's resistance to her identity.
Does she ever reach the idea that we are all independent actors and we all choose our own paths?
That's the struggle. The mother in this play is still working that out. It's a very moving play and approaches something from an angle that I don't think we consider that often. A child judging the parent. We're very accustomed to a young person who's gay coming out to their parents, but not the reverse.
Thingification is written and performed by Duriel Harris, a creative writing professor in the English department at ISU as well. It's a one-person play. You direct it, Duane, and Gina Cleveland helps.
Well, thingification comes from, in part, the imagination of Duriel Harris, and in part, some existing materials that she's found and made character from. It really is a collection of poems all leading toward self-empowerment and identification, once again, for African Americans, and particularly gay African Americans, and being able to hold your head high in confidence of who you are, also the search for who you are. She's a wonderful poet, Duriel, and spoken by her, performed by her, she's also quite a performer.
Don Chandro, you direct Bedfellows, written by Daniel Kipp, a playwright from Rock Island and an Illinois Wesleyan University theater graduate. That combines politics.
It does. It's a sexual identity. Yeah, actually, it was one of the reasons we selected the play in the first place is because it connected with what was happening now. You have a relationship in three acts. The first act takes place in 1992. All really kind of periods of change, political change. 1992, 2000, and then the last act is 2008. And it's the course of their relationship as it begins. And it's a lovely play about relationship and time and politics and the effects of everything on people, this couple.
Will there be a second LGBTQ festival?
We're learning how to do this. I was just telling Duane that this is Festival 101 for us this year, and we're learning how to do it. If we've learned how to do it, we better continue doing it, and I think we will.
I hope we will. It feels important, and I'm excited about it, and everyone we talk to about it is excited. We've created a festival with lots of roles, so we have a lot of the community participating. So I think it's going to be an exciting event.
What issues remain to be explored in future festivals? The legalization of marriage and what that now looks like, that gays are no longer struggling about that particular issue in Illinois.
Well, this is another period of change, of great change.
Absolutely.
So it's like every 8 years we have a period of great change.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that the gay community is really dealing with and keeping their eye on it at the moment is backlash to the Supreme Court ruling last year, backlash in North Carolina.
And Mississippi.
Mississippi, yeah. And then there were some actions in Indiana last year. So the country is really resetting, I think, to absorb that. And we need to make sure that it doesn't reset in a way that just legalizes discrimination.
Every time we do one of these things and define the theater company, everything we do defines what New Root Theater is. I hear the, aren't you afraid that, the comment when we were doing a festival like Black Voices Matter and some of the African-American theater that we were doing is, aren't you afraid that you're going to be considered a black theater company? Just the other day, somebody said, aren't you afraid that you're stepping into the realm of from support to advocacy? And I went, what? I mean, it was a strange comment because it just kind of took me by surprise.
Some people think theater is supposed to be about advocacy,
you know,
in part. That's not to limit it.
No, not at all. And the thing is, when you say voices of pride, when you say black voices matter, you have voices, advocate, it is giving a voice.
Duane, would you read a passage from one of the works?
Sure. This is from Bedfellows. You want to know about living and dying? This guy. I kind of knew this guy. He would come over to Queer Nation meetings. He was hot, in a punk sort of way. A bunch of us would hang out after meetings, you know? We called him JD, you know, John Doe? It didn't take long to figure out that he was kind of homeless. He hitchhiked here. Well, the cops, they... He had a boyfriend. This guy was the love of JD's life. You could just tell from how he talked about him. He knew his boyfriend had had some drug problems before, but he didn't know about the shooting up. He was faithful, and he took care of him, and he stayed with him until... And after, he wanted to start a needle exchange, you know, to help. The cops got him kicked out of his apartment and hauled him in, and he had this scar about 3 inches long that kind of curved behind his left ear. It was kind of hot. So we were all planning on going down to Houston to protest the convention, and he was totally boned up about it. He looked okay, you know? He looked fine. He was so boned up about Houston. He was the happiest we'd seen him in, like, weeks. It was going to be great. The cop showed up to a meeting with a really screwed-up picture of him. It was him. I could tell it was him, but it was... I thought it was really... I mean, it was, like, worse than a driver's license. The only thing he had on him was a couple of our flyers. They said that we should get tested for TB, because they think he... for maybe one of the shelters, and that it could really screw somebody up. They wanted to know if he had any family, anyone that he had. They found him behind a dumpster in an alley. He was by a dumpster, like a stained futon. Just another piece of trash, dead fag. We should have. He could have. We could have had him crash it. But he wouldn't. He had his love, the love of his life, and he was alone. Alone. He was alone. And I was just staring into that cop's face. They hate that, but I didn't care. They took a really bad picture, but I wasn't pissed. I mean, I should have felt something.
Don Chandro and Duane Boutte are with New Root Theater. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.